So as human beings, we are constantly interested in measuring things. We want to know how tall something is. How does it compare to the Washington Monument? Oh, it's that tall. We want to know how long something is. We got to measure things. How heavy is, wow, that's that heavy. What we got to measure things. You know, we want to measure the cost. How much did that cost? Wow, that's so much more than it cost last year. You get the idea? I mean, as human beings, we're interested in measuring things. As men like to know how fast something can go, or maybe more directly, how fast they can make something go. They like to measure things. We want to measure, you know, our position in something. We want to measure somebody's success in something. Maybe when your children were growing up, you would take them over to maybe a wall or a door frame in your house, and you would mark them off every once in a while and measure them up the door frame to say, oh, look at how much you've grown since the last time we did this. We're all interested in measuring. I want you to think about that in relationship to how we relate to each other. Sometimes we use that measuring thing to compare ourselves to each other. And sometimes we do that in regard to measuring ourselves to each other in a spiritual sense. Well, I'm not that strong of a Christian, but I'm stronger than fill in the blank. Well, I'm just not as strong as so and so. We measure ourselves against each other. Well, is that really what the Lord would have us to do? Once you get your Bible, and we're going to be in three passages tonight. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18. So you can stick a finger, a piece of paper in those. Mark 10, Luke 14, Luke 18. But what I want us to see as we turn to these passages tonight is that when we're measuring greatness, when we're measuring individuals who truly, truly are great in the eyes of God, the way that God measures that is to look at the humility that is in that person's heart. It's backwards. It's backwards from the way that we would measure something. We don't measure people by the level of their humility. That's just not the way that we're built. But God, when we look at these passages, especially when we close tonight in Mark chapter 10, God measures greatness by the level of humility that somebody has. And so tonight I want us to look at what Jesus has to say about this topic of humility versus pride. Pride is one of those things that we may not want to talk about. Pride is one of those topics that maybe we don't want to hear about, but pride is one of, if not the oldest, sin. Remember Eve in the Garden of Eden? The Bible describes the tools that the devil uses. Did Eve fall for any of the devil's tools? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This will make you like a god. Oh, I want that. Pride is one of the oldest of sins. And so, but sometimes we may look at it and we say, oh no, I don't have that problem. You know, I know some people. Oh boy, do I know some people that when it comes to pride, you know, they get a gold medal in the Olympics. I mean, they're just right up there at the top, but not me. When it comes to pride, that's not something that I really struggle with. And so sometimes it's the hardest to see it in ourselves. And so when you hear tonight that we're going to be talking about humility versus pride, and as you think about the topic of pride tonight, if that's something that you say, oh no, I don't need this lesson, it might be that we do need this lesson. Because sometimes it's hard to see in ourselves, it's hard to accept in ourselves, it's hard to realize that maybe it's something that I'm struggling with. And so tonight we're going to go to three different scenes in the life of Jesus. Two of these are parables, and so I thought about using this as a lesson on parables, but the last one we're going to look at tonight in Mark chapter 10 is not a parable, and so I decided tonight to treat this as just three occasions where Jesus did some teaching. And as we've been walking with Jesus over this last year and a half as we've come to these teaching lessons where these scriptures we're looking at are in red letters. We've paused at these and reminded ourselves that teachers in the first century, they didn't stand behind a pulpit. Teachers in the century sat down. Teachers in that first century were sitting down while the pupils were gathered in front of them. So I want you to imagine tonight, it's not David sitting here. I want you to imagine, if we can tonight, that we're sitting and listening to Jesus. And he's talking to us about humility versus pride. You think Jesus could look into the heart of the people that he was talking to when he was talking about humility and pride? Do you think if Jesus walked down the aisle, like Griffin's walking down the aisle now, and Jesus came and sat up here, you think he could look into our hearts and see if we're filled with pride or if we're filled with humility or if we're battling in our hearts for one of those to take over? Tonight, I want you to get your Bible, and I want us to start in Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, what I want us to see in this parable that Jesus tells is that pride seeks the best place, but not humility. While pride seeks the best place, humility seeks the low place. And what we're going to do with each, we're going to walk into three scenes tonight: Luke 14, Luke 18, Mark 10. And as we enter into these three scenes tonight, we're going to develop these with just five thoughts on each one of these, okay? Same five thoughts for each one of these scenes that we're walking into. We're going to see how pride is revealed in this particular scene. We're going to see what that pride leads to. It leads to ruin as a result of that pride coming forth out of that person's heart. Then we're going to turn around and we're going to look at humility. And we're going to see how humility was responding, how humility was acting in this scene. And then we're going to back up and look at Jesus as the example, not of pride, but Jesus, is Jesus an example for us in humility? And then we're just going to pause at the end of these and just say, what does this have to do with me? What kind of application do I need to take from this? So as you look in Luke chapter 14 and verses 7 through 14, this is one of those parables. And as we enter into this and think about the pride seeking the best seat and the humble seeking the low seat, what I want you to think about pride is look in verse 7. As before Jesus tells this parable, it tells us why he tells the parable in verse 7. Jesus told this parable to those who were invited when he noted. Jesus sees with his eyes how they chose the best places. Jesus, he's not just seeing the seats that they're choosing, but he's looking inside of their hearts to see why they're choosing those seats. He sees that these people want to be noticed. And so he's going to tell a parable, but he sees it in their heart. These people are filled with pride. They want to be noticed. They don't want the low seats where nobody's going to see them. They want the best seats of honor. They want the best seats where people are going to see them. They want the best seats where people are going to recognize them as, oh, they're the important people in this scene. Can we relate to that? Now, where does that lead in this particular parable? You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, every one of these, Jesus, pause for just a second. Why does Jesus talk about pride and humility so much? We're only looking at three occasions tonight that he does it. These are not the only three occasions. When Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount, you know the very first words out of his mouth in the Sermon on the Mount? It's the Beatitudes. You know what the very first one of the Beatitudes is? Blessed are the poor in spirit. The very first Beatitude, the word, first words out of his mouth in the Sermon on the Mount are what? Be humble. Why does Jesus talk about this so much? We need it. He knows no matter who we are, we need it. And so what does pride do in this occasion? It demands the best seat, but I want you to see where it leads. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, don't sit down in the best seat. Why? Lest one more honorable than you. Oh, nobody's, what are you talking about, Jesus? Nobody's more honorable than me. No, Jesus says, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you in him, he comes to you and he says, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest seat. You got the picture? I walk in, I'm going to take the best seat. And the host comes in and says, hey, you don't belong there. Get down to a lower seat. What does verse 11 say? Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. If we are filled with pride, we are inviting ourselves to be humiliated. We are inviting humiliation. That's what Jesus says. Does Jesus say in verse 11, whoever exalts himself could be? What does your Bible say in verse 11? Whoever exalts himself might be? My Bible says whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Sounds pretty certain to me. But how does humility respond? Where do you see humility acting in this parable? Look in verse 10. Does verse 10 begin with the word but in your Bible? That's how it begins in my Bible in verse 10. But Jesus says, when you are invited, go and sit down. Where? Not in the high place, not in the best place. You go sit down in the lowest place. So that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. What is happening? What's happening is what he says at the end of verse 11. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If I'm truly humble, there's two things on the screen here. If I'm truly humble, I am willing to choose the lower place. It doesn't have to be about me. I'm willing to take the back seat. I'm willing to not receive all the attention. I'm willing to not be the one who gets all of the notice at the top of the screen. If I'm humble, I choose that. And not only that, I'm satisfied with it. I'm satisfied if the host never comes to me and says, move up. I'm satisfied if I stay in the low seat and nobody ever notices me there. Why? Because that's the heart that God's looking for. It's a heart of humility. When you look at Jesus, do you see Jesus exhibiting humility in his life? Philippians chapter 2, the Bible talks about Jesus and how he came to this earth. Here he is in heaven, but he emptied himself, the Bible says. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to. He was willing to empty himself of some of those divine attributes, not all of them, but he comes down and he enters into a human fleshly body with all of the limitations that come with a human fleshly body. And the Bible says in verse 8 that he humbled himself. Son of God did that. He did that for us. If Jesus, who is God, could humble himself, who am I that I can't do that? What's the application? The application is so obvious, but what's the application for us? What is Jesus telling us by telling us this parable? The earthly story with the heavenly meaning. What's the heavenly meaning for us? You don't have to be in a place of prominence. It doesn't all have to focus on you. You don't have to be the center of attention. When verse 11 says, whoever humbles himself will be exalted, we need to be willing to do those things that maybe are not the most glorious of tasks. We need to be willing to serve, and that's kind of our last point tonight, so there's some overlap with our last point tonight, but we need to be willing to do those things that aren't going to be glorious and receive all sorts of attention. I heard about a group of ladies in a church somewhere who went to clean a widow's house. And this group of ladies from the church went to clean her house, and they went dusting around the house, and they went, you know, cleaning the windows inside and out, and they worked on the dishes, and, you know, they worked on the laundry, and they made her bed, and all the ladies were doing all sorts of things. But you know what nobody wanted to do in that old lady's house? Nobody wanted to clean that toilet. You know why? Oh, that's below me. I'll do somebody's dishes. I'll do somebody's this or that. But boy, I don't know about cleaning somebody's toilet. Why not? Am I too good for whatever? Fill in the blank. Am I too good for whatever? Jesus comes on the scene. And what does verse 7 say? He noted that there were people who chose the best places. Oh, I'm too good for that over there. I'm too good for... And Jesus says, if you're too good for something, you need this parable. And I don't know about you, but I need I need this parable. To say, I need to be humble and be willing and satisfied to take that low place. Go over to chapter 18. In a parable that you know better than the one we just read, is the one that Brad read a little while ago in Luke chapter 18. So you come over here in Luke chapter 18, not Brett, Tom read the scripture and Brett did the presiding. Sorry, mixed you guys up. You look alike, you know, two good-looking guys. We just got so many good-looking guys in the church, it's hard for me to, you know, tell them all apart. Does that help you guys? Did I resolve it? Okay, good. Okay, all right, so you get over to chapter 18. And Jesus, again, is contrasting pride and humility for us. And in this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who come to the temple to pray, we see an occasion where Jesus is telling us that what pride does is pride praises self. It's all about me. But humility pleads for mercy. And again, I want to use these same five thoughts to kind of develop this particular aspect of what we're looking at here in pride versus humility. Is how is pride revealed here in this passage? Well, look in verse 9. Again, the Bible doesn't always do this, but here we are looking at two parables tonight, and both of the parables, the Bible tells us why Jesus told it. I wish the Bible did that for every parable. That would be wonderful, but it doesn't. But for these two parables, here's the reason Jesus said it. Look at verse 9. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in, who'd they trust in? I trusted in me. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. How is pride being revealed in this particular parable? There were individuals that Jesus isn't looking at the outside. He's looking at the inside. Trevin talked about that in the sermon this morning, didn't he? About how something might hurt on the outside, but even more it might hurt on the inside. Was that your sermon, Trevin? It was a good sermon. So here's, Jesus isn't just looking at their outside. He's looking at the inside of men who, oh, they like themselves. Whew. They think they're all that. They're righteous in their own eyes. They're good in their own eyes. And so look at this Pharisee. Look at how good he is in verse 11. The Pharisee stood. Does this grab your attention every time you read it? He prayed thus with himself. Who's he talking to? Who's he interested in hearing this prayer? I forgot to count before I got up here, and sometimes I forget. I've got the word I circled six times, I think, maybe five, in this prayer. We'll read it and you circle them. What's this prayer about? Oh, it's about him. The Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you. That's a good way to start a prayer, right? You should start your prayers with thanksgiving. What's he thanking God for? I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this stinking, lousy, no good tax collector. Well, those words aren't in the Bible, but they're in his they're in his head. Even as this tax collector. You know what, God? I fast twice. You think God knows how often he fasts? You know what, God? I give tithes of all that I possess. Who's this guy looking at? Oh boy, he's so full of himself. He trusts in his own righteousness. Here's a man who trusts in his own goodness. Here's a man who's making a list for God as if God needed a list of all of his religious accomplishments. God, if you only had more men like me, oh boy, what the world would be like. Let's not be too hasty to shake our finger at him. Could this be me? Jesus isn't telling this random story as if it didn't apply to anybody. He's looking at people that were right there in his day, and he says, this story applies to you. Could this be me? Where does this lead? Where does this pride that this man is filled with, where does it lead? Well, you look back in verse 9, they trusted in themselves, and they despised others. Remember what we said at the beginning of the lesson, how we sometimes compare ourselves with each other? This man, did you hear his prayer? He's comparing himself with others. Woo, boy, I'm doing a whole lot better than that guy. That's not the comparison that we ought to be making, but that's the comparison that this man is making. He's comparing downward, despising others who are there And where does it leave him? Well, verse 14 says he goes back home, but he's not justified in the eyes of God. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Young people know this verse because they hear it all the time. Let no man despise your youth. Let no man do what? Despise your youth. That's the same word we've got here in verse 9. He despised, they despised others. What does that mean? You look down. Don't let other people look down on you, Paul tells Timothy. But Jesus says here, don't you look down on other people. Not a single person that I am better than that person. Not a single person am I better than that person. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, esteem others. You know God doesn't qualify that others in Philippians 2 and verse 3. Esteem others, not just Christians, not just good people. Esteem others better than myself. That applies to everybody. And so that needs to be, and I'm jumping ahead there, but that needs to be my response. And so how does humility respond in this verse? Verse 13. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. Here's a man who's standing, and nothing wrong with standing as a posture of prayer. You read that posture of prayer throughout the Bible, but he's standing with himself. But here you read about a man who would not even raise his eyes to heaven. And in anguish, he is beating his breast, and he is saying over and over, his prayer is really short, isn't it? He just keeps praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's all he can think to pray. He uses the word me in his prayer, but his prayer is not about how good he is. His prayer is about how much he needs the mercy of God. When you look at these two men, which one do I know we want to relate to the tax collector. Which one of these do we fit? You know, Jesus was a man who took mercy, extended mercy to individuals. And in Luke chapter 5, he's in Matthew's house. And it's interesting, in Luke chapter 5, he's not called Matthew. You know what he's called in Luke chapter 5? Levi. Luke doesn't call him Matthew, calls him Levi. And so Jesus is in Levi's house. Isn't that cool? Do you know Jesus is in your house too? So Jesus comes to Levi's house, and he's eating dinner. Well, Levi's not like this Levi, because that Levi in the Bible, he collected taxes. This is a nice Levi. But that Levi in the Bible, he collected taxes, and nobody liked that Levi, but everybody likes this Levi. So different, same name, different guy. So Jesus is there. And verse 29 says, Levi gave a great feast. There were a great number of tax collectors. So it wasn't just one tax collector. There's a bunch of tax collectors. And tax collectors are the most hated people among the Jews. And so the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 30, you know what they did? They complained against Jesus' disciples. And they were saying to them, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? You know why they were eating with tax collectors and sinners? Because Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus says to them, I didn't come, in verse 32, I didn't come to call you lousy self-righteous. He doesn't use the word self, but that's what he's talking about in verse 32. I didn't come to call you self-righteous people to me. I came to call sinners to me. And they're interested. Jesus was showing mercy to people that even the Jews wouldn't show mercy to. Do I do that? Do I compare myself to others and think I'm better than others? Or do I show mercy, extend mercy, because I need mercy? Again, to me, the application is just shouting at us as we walk through Luke 18. But we've got to stop comparing ourselves to other people. That's not our measuring stick. I don't have it up here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, those who compare themselves to others, those who compare themselves among themselves, are not wise. What's the opposite of being wise? You're a fool. God says if you compare yourself to somebody and that's your measuring stick, well, I'm not that good, but I'm better than that person. God says you're a fool. Why? Because that's not your measuring stick. Your measuring stick is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said, you only imitate me. You only compare yourself to me. You only imitate me as I do what? As I imitate the true one, who's our standard, who's our measurement, as I imitate Christ. And so I need to stand honestly before God. And my prayers need to be filled with, God, be merciful to me. God, please help me. God, I can't do this on my own. Our prayers need to reflect a heart of humility. All right, go to Mark chapter 10 and we'll wrap this up. And all of these fit together, which is the reason I wanted to just kind of combine them tonight, because it's interesting to me how often Jesus is emphasizing humility. And when you go to Mark chapter 10, this is parallel with Matthew chapter 20. You may recognize some verses here in Mark chapter 10 and think, I've seen that somewhere else. Yeah, you've read it almost word for word from Matthew chapter 20. But what I want us to see in Mark chapter 10 is that pride wants to be served, wants other people to serve them. But humility lives to serve other people. So let's take these same five thoughts. You're going to see these same five things here in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 45. So how is pride revealed here? Look at the beginning in verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. These are two of Jesus' best friends. Two of his best friends. You know, they're a part of his innermost circle. Peter, James, and John. His best friend's innermost circle. They come to Jesus in verse 35. And they say to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Pretty bold. But that's okay. I mean, bold's okay. Jesus tells us to be bold when we pray too. Okay, it's all right. So Jesus says in verse 36, What do you want me to do for you? You think Jesus already knew? Or was he like, I wonder what these guys want? Or did he already, did he want them to have to say it out loud? Maybe he wanted them to hear what they were thinking. Have you ever heard out loud your words? It sounded good in your head, and then it came out of your mouth. that wasn't as good as I thought it was. Jesus maybe wanted them to hear it with their own ears. And maybe he wanted the other disciples to hear what was in their hearts too, because they do. What do you want me to do for you? Verse 36. Verse 37. They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. You see any pride here? Pride wants position. I want to be a little higher. I want to have a greater stature. I want people to look to me on that particular matter. They wanted position. Any issues that come about as a result of their request? Any ruin that follows? Well, Jesus tells them, you don't even know what you're asking. And what if Jesus said that to you? You don't even know what you're asking. Verse 38. Look at verse 41. When the 10 heard it, how did the other apostles think about this? They were greatly displeased with James and John. You would have been too, right? How dare these guys ask that? I also wonder if there's another element involved. Oh, why didn't I think of that? I should have asked him for that first. James and John beat me to the punch. Oh. And they were greatly displeased, maybe at the audacity, maybe that they didn't think about it first. Can pride ruin our relationship, not just with the Lord? Can pride ruin our relationship with other people? It does on this occasion. The other apostles get angry with them. And Jesus says, here is how humility ought to respond to that. Verse 42. But, beginning of verse 42, but Jesus called them to himself. Wait a minute, weren't they already there? Think about that. Jesus called, they're already there. But they get in a little fight with each other. I can't believe you said, I can't believe you said, I can't. Can you see that in verse 41? They're greatly displeased. And in my mind, in verse 42, he called them to himself. He said, guys, hush, listen. You know, verse 42, that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. Did you see the word over three times in that verse? Jesus says, people outside of a relationship with God, you know how they act? They got to be over. They got to have that position over somebody else. Jesus says that's how the world acts. Verse 43, yet it shall not be so among you. Among the followers of the Lord, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great, yes, I want to be great. Give me that great position. What does he say? Whoever desires to be great among you shall be your what? Jesus, you didn't mean this word. Jesus, wait a minute. Wash your mouth out with soap and say something else, because you didn't mean to say it's going to be your servant. Verse 44. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Jesus says, instead of desiring greatness, desire to serve somebody else. Jesus, can you show us, can you just show us one person? Can you show us just one person? I mean, Jesus, this is fanciful talk about if you're great, you're going to be a servant of all. Jesus, you're just making this. Show us one person who did that. Jesus says, okay, verse 45. Okay. For even the Son of Man, you're looking at him, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The key verse, the theme verse of the book of Mark is right there. If Mark were to tell the Romans to whom he's writing this information, this document about the life of Jesus, if he was trying to elevate Jesus in the Romans' minds in any way, it was that Jesus is servant of all. Key theme verse right here. And Jesus is saying, you need to do this because even I have done this. Jesus came to this earth. Was Jesus come to this earth to be served? No, Jesus came to this earth to serve others. What's the application? It's just shouting. What's the application? We've got to stop asking, who's going to do that for me? Who's going to serve me? Why hasn't anybody called me? Why aren't they checking on me? Why doesn't somebody come over and visit me? We've got to stop asking about why people aren't doing stuff for me and start asking, whom can I serve today, this week, tomorrow, and the day after that? Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. How often did Jesus go around serving others? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, when Peter goes to the Gentile Cornelius' house, and he's going to tell him about Jesus. How do you, if you're Peter, how do you summarize the life of Jesus for a guy who has no knowledge of Jesus, this Gentile? How do you summarize the life of Jesus, 3.5 years of his ministry? He does it in one statement in Acts 10 and verse 38. Jesus went around doing good. He went around serving. He went around doing good, and that's what Jesus says. Right here, he says, if you're going to be great in the kingdom, it's not about the position that you get to. It's about getting down and serving others, even if nobody else knows about it. And so can I challenge us this week to ask, who can I help? Can I challenge us this week, tomorrow, tonight, to go through our directory, to go through our Lightpost app? And we don't have to limit it to our members, but Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And to call somebody, better than texting, but you can text, but call somebody is even better. What can I do to help you today? And I won't take no for an answer. What can I do to help you today? And be willing to do something that's even maybe beneath you to do. Did Jesus do anything that was beneath him to do? Everything Jesus did was beneath him to do. And yet he did it for you and me. May God help us, if we're going to be first, if we're going to be great, to let others go before us. This week, let others be more important than you this week. Let somebody go first in front of you. Let somebody ask something first before you. Let somebody speak first before you. Let others go first. Maybe even in traffic. I know you do it at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, but even in traffic, it's okay to get behind somebody. And that's just one symptomatic area where we need to think about humility versus pride. Why did Jesus talk about this so much? Because 2,000 years ago, people struggled with it. And 2,000 years later, we still do. Where are you in your relationship with God tonight? You know, when you think about your relationship with God, sometimes pride causes us to resist God because we say, no, I've got everything under control. And so it causes us to delay our obedience. But God says, would you get yourself out of the way? Remember what Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? D-E-N-Y. Deny who? Himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me, Luke 9 and verse 23. Have you gotten yourself out of the way? That's what humility does. It says, it's not about me. I want to do what God tells me to do. In order to get right with God, I've got to obey what He says, which involves believing Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of my sins, confessing my faith, being baptized into Christ, submitting to Him, submitting my all to Him. Not just in that moment of baptism, but submitting my all to Him for the rest of my life. The Old Testament prophet Micah, he said, you want to please the Lord? You know what the Lord wants from you? He mentions three things, but the last of them is, God wants you to walk humbly with Him. You know, this is one of those lessons that, I don't know about you, this is one of those lessons where I think every heart in here needs to respond to the invitation. Now, not publicly, and you may need to respond publicly tonight, but my heart needs to be the first one, and if you'll follow my heart tonight, to respond to the invitation of God that says, God, I need to get myself out of the way. And I need to humble myself before you. Humble myself before others. And to allow others to see Christ in me every single day. But maybe you have a need to respond publicly. If you've never been baptized tonight, you can do it. If you've never been baptized, you can do it tonight. And if your life is not walking humbly with God, get it right tonight as together we stand and sing.